This is Prophecy Zone Radio. Enter the zone. The Prophecy Zone. Your end time watchman. Bringing you light in a dark world. Where truth is rivaled with a lie. And the Matrix is normal life. Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You are now in the zone. So be ready to enter the light or truth about the end of days, so you will be ready for the coming of the Lord. You are in the zone, the Prophecy Zone. So join us for the next hour as we look at world events in line with Bible prophecy, so you'll be informed and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Hello, welcome to the Prophecy Zone. This is Phil Armstrong. We have an exciting show for y'all lined up. We have the host or hostess from the Prophecy Zone Network. We're going to be having Brendan Johnson, the host of the show as the day approaches, Susan Pozio from Prophetic News, and Christina Wick, the author of the book, Explain This, a study of Revelations, chronological study of Revelation. So it's exciting to have these three women on here today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I just wanted to iterate on a few things right quick. The book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, to explain who Gog and Magog is, once you start reading it, Gog is a leader, also he's probably a leader in the spiritual realm also, and Magog is the territory in the physical where he comes from. There's been studies time and time again, and a lot of theologians and Bible teachers believe it to be Russia. Some people think it's China. Some people think it's a combination of Russia and China. I don't believe that. I think China will set out into the book of Revelations when they march across the Euphrates River. But it could be a combination. I know this, I believe this, that the United States and China will get into it. And it could be cyber attacks, military, of course, and what have you. Now, I was watching the news, but I kind of stopped for about 2 days. Sometimes you need a rest. And I had no idea that the UN was hitting Libya. Now, if you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you notice that Russia will come with a coalition, and the Bible says that Russia comes as a guard to them who they are with. So Libya is one of these countries explained in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and also Iran. So could the West be coming after Iran, and maybe this thing might lift up, and later on the West will be a threat towards Libya, Turkey, Iran, who knows? But this is very interesting. We're living in interesting times. An old proverb from China. We're living in very interesting times. Sometimes it sends shivers up your spine. I waited a long time to talk about the Japan earthquake. Because sometimes when things happen, you kind of give it a break. You just don't jump on it and say, this is what's happening, God's judgment. In that case, America would have been judged a long time ago. I hate when people say that because don't get me started about that. We are a decadent nation. We have forgotten God, and we forget God every day. We hold God up as a T-shirt. We might as well just put on a T-shirt, just like you wear a Detroit Lions T-shirt. Most people are embarrassed to wear a Detroit Lions T-shirt. I think it's kind of sharp. People are embarrassed to wear a Jesus shirt. I mean, it's just that bad. And people say, well, just because I got this T-shirt on, I'm pretty closer to God than if I didn't have it on. And then there's people who are just ashamed to wear the shirt in the first place. That's how bad we've gotten. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our amazing guest today. So please stay tuned.
You're entering the Prophecy Zone, where truth will be reviled. You're entering the zone where truth is more stranger than fiction. You're entering the zone where you'll find that good is evil, blue is red, black is white, truth a lie. You're entering the zone where you'll find that every human is in a race for his or her soul, and truth is more stranger than fiction. Wars, the mark of the beast, Israel, the European superstate, the rapture of the church, and more. Don't be afraid to enter the zone. The Prophecy Zone.
We will be starting a show called Prophecy Zone Planet Earth. And what this show will consist of is I'm going to talk about everything, the New World Order. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to get some nasty comments. You're supposed to be a Christian show. You talk about this. I'm not going to be talking about politics. There ain't no one man can save this world. This world is about just about no man, no one man. Do not set us up again with an overgrown height, super hyped election. This was the most hyped election full of bull crap and hot air I've seen on the face of the earth. You would swear Jesus was getting elected. This guy was just overblown. And what has he done? Actually, he did a job. He did what the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission and the Rockefellers and the all the other families, the Rothschilds. He's done what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to destroy, make it look like you're trying to do something right, and you're actually in the process of creative destruction. That's what homeboy Alan Greenspan called it, creative destruction. Yeah, he's creative, all right. He makes yourself look like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but in reality, behind closed doors, you're destroying the very fabric of this nation. So without further ado, these ladies are doing an excellent job. I think my problem is I kind of stay back too far, and I'm going to start communicating with these ladies more often so we can build a we need more hosts. And I get kind of to a point where I guess I'm a hands-off person, and I get too hands-off. So, it's good for us to communicate with each other. So starting after the day, I will be doing that more often. But I start having these wonderful ladies on my show a lot more. Brenda Johnson, she has an awesome show. I listen to it a lot, and she has a lot of good information. Susan Pozio, she will tell you like it is. Even when you talk to her on a personal level, she's going to tell you how it is. Also, Christina Wick, awesome show that I'm pretty much glad to be able to have her on the network. I explained this. Please get it. We're going to ask her a little bit later how you can get the book and much more. So without further ado, I'm going to bring one on at a time. Christine?
I am here. Thank you for Hello. The opportunity, Phil.
Thank you for coming on the show today. Susan?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Yeah, doing all right.
Great, great. And Brenda, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you loud and clearly. Let's get started. Let's just focus in on the church in general. Susan, what is your main concern about the church in today's world? What is your main, what makes you cringe when you hear it?
Cringe is how far we've fallen from righteousness. It's like nothing shocking anymore. We have preachers accused of homosexuality, child molestation, fraud, adultery. And yet they're still pastoring their churches. They're still drawing crowds. Now, that is amazing to me that 20 years ago even, when there was a scandal, the people stepped down. They went through a period of restoration and repentance. And now they're just like in your face, we're going to do what we want, and we can't be stopped. So that's shocking to me. Also the financial, how far we've fallen from trusting God, and how the church has become so selfish and self-centered in their giving. And we, for the most part, no longer give from our heart and out of love for human beings, out of compassion. So we've fallen very far down.
Yes, indeed. How about you, Brenda? Same question.
Well, what I'm concerned about within the church is the lack of Bible knowledge, the lack of actually wanting to read your Bible and know what it's saying. There's so much deception within the church right now. Things are coming in that people are believing whatever the pastor says, or whatever is coming their way that sounds good or catchy. I find a lot of people that seem amazed that I can actually say the things I say about the Bible, and it's just as simple as reading the Bible and understanding the character of God. And the more that I talk to people, the more easily I see them being sucked into different philosophies, different cultish kind of, whether that be Word of Faith, or whether that be the Emergent Church, or whether that be a lot of the side things that are actually not even biblical. So that is where I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about what is happening in this world, and that we, especially in the United States, since we're all speaking from the United States, that we are not prepared to actually enter into the time that we're going into.
I think
in this time, in this day, that we have to know. It says that if it were possible, even the elect will be deceived. And I never understood that until I really realized that people don't really know what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And deception is acting as though deception is defined that it sounds right, it sounds good, it sounds not, biblical, but it is not. There's just enough deception in there that matters with salvation.
And the thing about it is, it's just not just a lot of poison. It's a little poison. That's all you need. You don't need a lot of poison to get you, to kill you physically. Chris?
I agree with both those ladies wholeheartedly. They both have made a great point. Mm-hmm. I can add to that by saying I can definitely see a lack of knowledge of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and that goes hand in hand with the falling away and the love growing cold.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fault of our pulpit, because I have this in my own church. God is love is spoken much more widely. Things are much more accepted as sin because God won't punish sinners. That we fail to see that God is also a God that is angered by sin, that is a God of wrath. We don't have a balance in our sermons. Everything is good. God is love. We should love each other.
Yes,
that is half of it. The other half is we need to teach of God's anger against those who do go against his will. And we don't teach that enough. We don't teach the book of Revelation as a signal of God's you would say, a wrath of, upon the earth, but it's also kind of the judgment that's coming. And we become too complacent with no judgment. There is no damnation for anybody because God is love. And I think that is a very, very strong delusion that is being taught from our pulpits.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, that was a good first out the gate explanation. where do you, starting with Susan, actually starting with Chris, go ahead and bring the Word of God back in. I mean, let's go to Revelation. Let's go to Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea. What do you see as far as our, in the 21st century, I know this is kind of going to sound like a stupid question, but what church do you see?
Well, the way that I kind of look at the last four churches of Revelation are the four different sets of Christians that we have. That's kind of the way that I interpret. It's one of many interpretations. That's just the way that I see it.
Mm-hmm.
The last four churches kind of wrap up today's Christian. And I think the biggest, you would say, proportion of Christians lies in the Church of Laodicea. They are neither hot nor cold. They sit in church. They mumble through the hymns. I mean, the church that I go to is a great, I feel it's a Bible teaching church because obviously I go there, but there's so much deadness in it. a great hymn comes on, and you get people that just sit, and they just there's no passion for God there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get the drum set going, and there's a few people too that would, you know, rise while others sit, and others raise their hand and while they sing, and that's great. But most of them, and I'd say 95% of my church, would rather sit down and just let somebody else do the singing while they'll just sit there. However, you see them at a concert the night before, at a secular concert, and they're jumping up and down, they're hoarse, their knees hurt because they jump so much. And I'm like, you know, that's the way God wants us to be. Just be passionate for him. And so many times these people sit in church on Sunday, and on Monday, nothing's different. And this is where the neighbors look at them and say, yeah, look, there's the one that goes to church. That's where I feel that a good proportion of our Christian, in quote, church or our people, Christian people, are in. It's that Church of Laodicea.
Yes, amen, amen. How about you, Susan? Same question.
Well, I every day I see something new. We have some news that broke this week that there's a brother on the internet, and we can expect to see a lot more of this happening. And I think the brother's name is Bill Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he has a blog, and he posted something that Benny Hinn and Paula White were getting engaged. And so, of course, Benny Hinn's divorce was final. And so he was getting, I guess he was getting a lot of hits on his website, and it was a big story. So we know that Benny Hinn looks at the internet because he filed a lawsuit against this brother because the story wasn't true. I guess the brother, it's funny how he has money for lawsuits. He's finding money for lawsuits just for the fact that this man said that he was getting engaged.
Mm.
Now, I mean, that's a real reason to file a lawsuit against somebody. And so then I guess this brother had to get an attorney and whatever. And he decided that he was going to apologize because whoever his source was, and that's why it's important to always do your fact-checking, it wasn't a true story. So then he had to make a public apology, which, yeah, that's right. And anyway, then Benny Hinn dropped the lawsuit. But so I think that many of us, we have to be very careful about what we say. And because these people are listening, we do have their attention.
Yes,
we do have their attention. And I did even hear from a daughter of a well-known evangelist about 2 weeks ago, who she looked at my YouTube channel and she was quite upset at some of the things I was saying about her father. But anyway, we I think that we have a great opportunity to teach the Word of God and to bring people back, yes, to reading their Bible and to getting away from having pastoritis, which is a disease in the church where people go on Sunday, they never crack the Bible open for themselves. You'd be amazed what you find in there.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't being taught in most of the pulpits in this country. So ultimately, all of us are responsible to read the Bible, to know what the Word of God says, because the Bible says also that in the end times, perilous times shall come, and we see that. Now, isn't it amazing, Phil, this thing that's happening with Libya? Where did this come from all of a sudden?
Oh, yeah, it came out of the woodworks. And we're gonna get on to we're gonna come back to that in a few seconds.
Yeah, because that is interesting.
Yeah, definitely gonna come back to that.
All about it.
Yeah, we definitely gonna come back to that. Brenda, same question, but I'm gonna throw a twist in there. I want you to go ahead and look at all the studies that you have done in the last couple of months, and just iterate on that same question. What church are we? Let's use the seven churches. Well, what church do you see most mimicking today's church?
Well, I would agree with Christine Week as far as the Laodicean church, where I wish you were either one or the other, either hot or cold, but now that you're lukewarm. And how I see that is because there is two bodies of water in Laodicea in the time of the church when it did exist, and one was a hot spring and one was a cold spring, and in between was this what we call in Florida, and I know that Susan Puthio would know this, brackish, meaning salt and fresh water, but this would be a warm and cold water. And what the angel was saying was either I want you either cold or refreshing or hot and healing. And I do see the church and a lot of churches that are not that way.
Mm-hmm.
I also see it as there is a group of people within the church and a group of which we would be included in that is this Philadelphia where it says that I know that you're, you know, I see your deeds, I see you, you know, I've placed an open door before you that no one can shut, and I know that, you know, you have little strength. Though we haven't experienced that here in the United States as far as the suffering, I do see that in a lot of the Islamic countries where God is actually doing an amazing thing in some of those countries where he's actually sending dreams and visions to people, you know, in Islam who are actually seeking the truth. And they are coming out of Islam into the knowledge of Jesus, and I see that what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. So yes. I kind of see both those churches.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And the most important thing is, like, Philadelphia, is that these people, he said that you are weak, but you have kept my word. And the word says for us to love love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like, and love your neighbor as yourself. My pastor's talking about today the top of the pyramid. If you use the pyramid, and at the tip of the pyramid is what you put first in your life, and then there are different layers going down. What's on? You know, the old saying, who's on first, who's on second? Well, who's at the top of your pyramid? And the Laodicean church seemed to have other needs. They put money first. The money is important in our society, but it's not the main thing. So let's go on. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
You're entering the prophecy zone, where truth will be reviled. You're entering the zone where truth is more stranger than fiction. You're entering the zone where you'll find that good is evil, blue is red, black is white, and truth a lie. You're entering the zone where you'll find that every human is in a race of his or her soul, and truth is more stranger than fiction. Wars. The mark of the beast, Israel, the European super state, the rapture of the church, and more. Don't be afraid to enter the zone. The prophecy zone.
Hey, I hit the wrong button on there. My son was at the door. I apologize. I was supposed to hit another button. I'm sorry about that. But actually, we're back quicker. That was called the panic button. It's just like, wow, man, because his friends knocked on the door earlier, and they were knocking like they lived here. And if you live here, you shouldn't be knocking like that. So getting back to where we were, I apologize for that, ladies and audience. Let's just jump the gun and just go into the book of Ezekiel 38-39. Let's go to the future. Let's stay in the church. Let's just talk whatever God brings up, whatever the Holy Spirit leads us. Let's just do that. So the prophecy seems to be fulfilling all the time, every day. The birth pains, I have no idea what cycle the lady's on. Everybody, all of y'all probably had babies. I haven't. So, you know, obviously, I haven't had a kid. But where are we? I mean, truly, where are we? What part of the is she ready to be taken to the hospital? Is she just, you know, just having pains, but, you know, tomorrow they'll be gone? I mean, where are we on God's scale? Where are we on God's time clock? What's going on? I mean, first we got Egypt going down. Then we got Libya, and then we got Iran being toyed with. Then we got Turkey a couple of months ago, and then we got the Palestinians going into uprise. Ladies, let's just start with Susan, and then we work from there. Well, what do you see going on? I mean, what's happening here? I mean, it's crazy. Well, take us to where we need to go. So tell us what's going on. I mean, in the Middle East, in your view.
Who is that directed to, Phil?
You, Susan.
Okay. All right. I was just putting my little bird to sleep.
I didn't wake her up.
Well, it's kind of hard to figure out, because I was thinking about it today. Now, what does this all mean? Why all of a sudden are they going after Gaddafi? Because he was our enemy back, I think, in what was it, the 80s or the 90s?
Yeah.
He was our big enemy.
Yeah.
And then it was quiet for a while. And then all of a sudden, well, the thing that I thought about today, because they were saying, well, he's killing his own people, so we have to step in. And I'm like, well, we kill our own people over here. babies. So does anybody step in? Like, who comes to our country and bombs us, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was very strange. So I'm wondering, what is really going on? It kind of took the focus off of Japan.
Yeah.
And the terrible devastation, the suffering of the people of Japan, and then all of a sudden there's this war that we're involved in Libya. So I'm trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Maybe Christine, she's the expert in the book
and
of Revelation. I would like to hear her.
Yeah,
comment.
That's where we were going with this. How about you, Chris?
Actually, Susan's got an excellent point there. What is going on?
Yeah.
I put that up on my Facebook page. I say, hey, anybody got any ideas here? We already had an enemy with Gaddafi, so does Israel. So what's the point now of God kind of allowing this to continue to move on. And I think we're going to do hindsight 2020 on a very short amount of time that says, aha, this is the reason why Libya was involved. I believe Libya, or Gaddafi himself, will probably go on the edge of chemical weapon warfare. Don't know if this wakens up some other places around the world to start using this against Europe. Notice how the United States kind of backed off a little bit and getting directly involved in the bombing. The French, who would have thought the French would have been the first people to do this?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just, to me, it's just like, wow, what's going on here? And I think this, we're just going to look back in a short amount of time, and we're going to see God's reasonings for pulling Libya up in the forefront like this. Another thing that I see that we've got to really pay attention here also to is the Psalm 83. Many people feel, and I'm kind of leaning towards this way, Psalm 83 needs to be fulfilled first before Ezekiel 38 comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And I touched on this with my book on Ezekiel's War. That was my first chapter, because if you notice, a couple of times, in fact, I think it's mentioned three times in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that Israel is at peace,
mm-hmm.
without protection. Now, that is in no way the situation in Israel right now. They're still getting bombarded from bombs from Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no way that Ezekiel's war can happen tomorrow. But
yeah.
Psalm 83 comes into play here because all the nations surrounding Israel are taken out. And I maybe, and this is a maybe, maybe God's using Libya as kind of taking the focus away from Israel for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And letting Israel build things up, because if Gaza keeps lopping these bombs over into Israel, Israel's going to have enough with the Palestinians and just going to take them all out. And
yeah.
According to Psalm 83, now this one I've heard a number of different interpretations of this, but if you notice, the subjects mentioned in Psalm 83, the neighbors of Israel, are not necessarily mentioned in Ezekiel 38.
Yeah.
And there could be a reason for that, is Israel is already going to be occupying those nations around her. They will already have overcome them.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And I think another thing that just amazes me, too, is the Islamic nations are going against Libya. And
yeah.
Libya is an Islamic nation.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. Now, that to me was like, boy, this is real strange here.
Yeah.
So there's a reason for it, and I think we're going to see it pan out later. Definitely going to pan out later.
Yeah, I have no idea what we are. I used to make predictions, but I'm having more fun just sitting back watching it than I am trying to predict what's going to happen. This is not what I'm trying. I'm out of that business, but it's fun. It's not so fun to realize that World War III can start at any time. It's not so fun to realize that Japan had just lost thousands of people. It's not so fun to realize that, hey, the United States can go broke at any time. It's not fun. I mean, there got Bible prophecy people out there who are teaching Bible prophecy, or, you know, consider themselves watchmen on the wall. If it does not sorrow your heart, if it does not make you like, wow, this is crazy. We got preachers that practicing homosexuals. I mean, we got husbands cheating on their wives. Of course, this has been happening through history. we got kids that just worshiping Satan, some of them on purpose. And then we sit here and we're watchmen and watching women. I don't know if it has that in the Bible. We're watching it on the wall. So our job is to it's to get the word out, but not in being happy. There's people out there who actually, oh, did you see the earthquake? That must be the act of God. He just destroyed all of it. I say you might want to watch what you're saying, because it's coming here, and you might be the first one tipped off into the ocean. So just watch what you got. Brenda, let's continue on, and I want to get your take on what the heck is going on. I mean, I know this might not be your expertise, but I'm pretty. You're a brilliant woman, and I appreciate your show. Please tell me, what do you think is going on here in the Middle East? What's going on?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, I find this quite interesting. I actually have been told that, you know, if you want to write a chart about the last days and make sure that you use cheap paper so you can rip it up, so and it won't cost so much. But though it might not seem my expertise as far as Revelation, it's just because I haven't got that far yet
some
of my shows. So what I see in the Middle East or in Libya is actually part of what, and you're making me jump the gun, I'm telling you, and some of the shows that I'm about to do as far as the Islamic Jihad. And this is part of that. This is part of what is happening.
Yes,
what
yes.
they feel about Gaddafi is yes. that Gaddafi is not fully committed to the coming of the Mahdi.
Mahdi, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the al-Mahdi that Iran and all the Muslim Brotherhood and all those that has happened in Egypt, it's connected with Egypt. This is why the Muslim countries are going against this, because what they're trying to produce out of these countries is a caliphate. And Gaddafi is not one who is willing to actually bring that forth. He's a dictator.
Yeah.
And so that's why the Islamic countries are being quiet about this, is because they want him out, so that they can bring in this general reign of the caliphate and put in somebody they would rather have instead, that is more in tune to that. So this is why, you know, it's quite interesting. I am, just like everybody else, sitting back and watching and seeing what happens here. And though it is our enemy, who's going to be put in place is still going to be our enemy. It's probably going to be a greater enemy. In my opinion, Gaddafi himself.
So I just think
this is actually exciting. I mean, I've been studying Revelation since I was a teenager, so you know, this has been a long time. And I remember back then saying, I feel like I'm probably going to be an elder in that time. Talking about the time in which it should come. I didn't know what it was about it when I was young studying this, and didn't know what it meant, but just as Mary kind of took everything and observed and kind of watched and to see what was happening, I'm still doing that. But I am amazed to see the time in which we live, to see all that is happening. And I really strongly believe something has that these last days has to do with the struggle between Israel and Ishmael.
Yeah.
That showdown, the final showdown of Ishmael and Israel fighting for dominance, and how just like the parallel of us Christians and you know, God and Satan, and you know, there's just something about that. So
yeah,
Libya,
yes,
let's watch. Let's watch and see.
Yes, indeed. I will give y'all my quick take on this, and then we'll go ahead and go down the line. First of all, I wanted to say that the church movement, plus everything else is leaning towards, plus what's going on in the Middle East, these revolutions and any other type of religion, it's all heading towards the one road, which is the revealing of the Antichrist, because the Bible said many Antichrists shall come. And when somebody said, like, Notre Dame, is there three Antichrists? No, there are millions and gazillions of Antichrists, okay? But everything's headed in the same direction. Even Creflo Dollar saying, I'm going to go and Uzi up my whole church because they're not paying tithing to purpose-driven church. Or the Shack talking about God was a big, fat black woman walking around or whatever. And plus, I can throw in some UFO stories, too. All these things are heading into one direction, which is the revealing of the Antichrist. First of all, let's talk about this character, the Antichrist, right quick. I'm going to give you my quick take. I think he comes from Syria, I believe that he will be a politician. However, I thought Juan Carlos was the Antichrist at one point. I never thought Ronald Reagan was because I was too young. I didn't think Elvis Presley was because he can't dance. Well, he can dance, and I don't think the Antichrist can he might be riding a horse, though. But my point is that many people have gotten it wrong. People say Obama's the Antichrist, and whoever else comes along is the Antichrist. The Antichrist rides the white horse in Revelation. He has a bow with no arrow. So that means he has the possibility of going to war, the threat of going to war, the threat of blowing your house up, but he doesn't do it. He's more of a diplomatic type person. So my take is that I believe he's a politician, a pretty boy, good-looking guy, really stout, really tall, good and handsome guy. He's a total package. The globalists like him. The Bilderbergers like him. The Illuminati like him. And Creflo Dollar like him. everybody likes him. So I think he's going to be the Mahdi, a good-looking king from the Middle East, a Middle Eastern king. So my question is, and I don't care if y'all disagree, because next week I might think somebody else is the Antichrist. So it's no big deal to me. I'm looking for Jesus Christ anyway. But part of the show is, who is the Antichrist? Let's start with Brenda.
Who is the Antichrist? That is a very interesting question. For me to speculate who exactly it is.
Speculate, I like that word.
Is just like what you're saying, is to speculate. And I don't think I ever have looked at anybody particularly.
Not person. Not person, but in position. Who is this guy?
Position?
Is he from the Middle East? Is he from Europe?
If the Jews are going to accept him, he has to be from the Middle East. I'm a little baffled by who it would be, because the Jews have to accept him as his Messiah, their Messiah, and they will not accept anybody but a Jew.
Yeah.
I have an uncle who actually has predicted. I'm not, I don't know if I believe it or not, but he did a lot of study on the Ethiopian Jews, the tribe of Dan, which is in Ethiopia. And he thinks that it might come from there. I don't know. Because there is something in the scriptures about the tribe of Dan. But I don't know. All the things that you study and the things that are happening in the world, I actually think what is happening now is actually preparing whoever this is going to be to rise and come. And that is the combination both the jihad and also the emerging and the worldwide globalization of actually setting the stage for this particular person. I've also studied the New Age actually says, that he's actually here and now. There's a star in the sky that is actually proclaiming his arrival, that he has appeared to people in Islam, actually the more mystical side of Islam. Also, he has appeared to many of the people in New Age movements. There's these sightings that are happening right now all over the place. So if you look at some of the videos or whatever, he looks more like Indian or Middle Eastern or whatever.
Yeah.
But who knows? I can't speculate. But I do think it's either going to come from the Middle East area or in Europe, African, that place in the globe.
Yeah, this fascination with the Antichrist I kind of stood away from it for a long time, and it's more or less every politician that comes down the line. Obama's supposed to be the Antichrist. Next thing you know, next year some new politician comes on the scene, he's supposed to be the Antichrist, so forth and so on. But I really, like I said, I don't want to know who he is, really, until I get up into heaven.
It seems like, though, that there is a commonality between all these different religions and what they're expecting the Antichrist to be like.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the one who saves the world from chaos, the one who heals and brings a social justice, who brings, you know, so a lot of the different religions are actually proclaiming the last Messiah to actually have the same characteristics. It's kind of interesting.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That is interesting. All right, Chris?
Oh, you've hit one of the subjects that I'm extremely passionate about.
Oh.
I know this is going to come a time here soon where I am going to become more and more passionate. I've kind of started the ball rolling in my hometown here a little bit. I've already been, it's amazing. I've been putting up a few of the advertisements about this just to kind of give people a heads up. I believe I do know the position of the Antichrist. I don't know the person, such as like John Smith III. No, that I do not know. We will know him when he signs that treaty with Israel. But I do see the coming of this as the position. So let me kind of set the stage a little bit here. And right now it's happening with these Islamic nations taking, and this whole thing, I think it was Susan, or was it, I think it was Brenda. Brenda had mentioned this idea of Gaddafi being taken out because he is not along that same Islamic Messiah line or the Al-Mahdi. And she made an excellent point. I guess I never thought of that. And that would make sense as to why the other Islamic nations want to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have this coming up in line here where we see the rise of Islam more and more, and that is there is no guessing on that. You can see that happening. And the nations overthrowing their governments who are pro-Western starting to more and more go towards the totally Islamic way. That, I believe, is your setup for Ezekiel's war. Look at the end game of Ezekiel's war. Israel gets attacked by Islamic nations. And in the end, God rises up and protects the nation of Israel. So the God of the Zionists is the one who gets the glory. In fact, it's mentioned three times in chapter 39, no more will my name be profaned. I will get all the glory. They will know that I am the God of Israel. And what is that going to look like to a Muslim who is watching this going, oh, wow, it wasn't Allah after all. It was Jehovah. And that's going to, this is where I think it sets the scene. Now, you can go ahead, and a lot of people have criticized me for this, but that's okay. I think time will tell if we're right. But if you put the clues together from Daniel and from Revelation, we see the rise of someone out of the Roman Empire. I see the rise of Christianity coming versus Islam due to the result of Ezekiel's war. If the Antichrist comes along and signs that treaty with Israel, now that we see Islam has been downgraded, I think we're going to see that person signing the treaty being from a Christian entity. I believe it to be a pope. And I'll tell you why. There's a number of clues in Revelation that point this way. First of all, it's the woman that sits on seven hills. She's the one that rides on the back of him. So those two are a pair, the Catholic Church and the Antichrist. Another thing to consider is if the Antichrist would be Islamic, it would be very difficult for most Christians to follow that way. They're going to see automatically, oh, this is this ain't good. I am not going to follow someone like that. The devil's goal in all of this is not to fool the unbeliever. That's already happened. His goal is not to fool the Islam or to fool the believers of Islam because he's already done that. His main goal is to fool the Christians.
Yeah.
Catch them believers off guard.
Yeah.
And if the Antichrist needs to counterfeit himself so closely to God, which obviously Revelation states this, to in order to fool the Christians, why not become like a Christian, adopt miracles that he'll be able to produce signs and wonders from heaven, and follow all that with a Christian entity, why not see the rise of another pope that will have the answers to everything, will be very charismatic, be very, who knows? I mean, we're going to see possibly a new pope coming, and look at here, Pope Benedict is not all that young anymore. Things are shaping up almost in perfect timing here. Of course, with God, it is perfect timing, where when Pope Benedict passes away, do we see the rise of somebody new on the horizon here who will captivate all people? And he will be the one that sides with the Jews and turns the heart of the Jews towards him. I don't know. Maybe Islam will be part of the false prophet to help that. I don't know. That one is kind of in the dark. But
you know, that would be funny. That would be weird if everybody goes chasing after politicians and trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. And that'd be weird if the Antichrist is actually a pope and the false prophet is one of those dudes. What did they call those guys that's in charge of Iran? I forgot the head name of it, but Ayatollah or something like that. I have no idea. But
well, it's amazing, Phil. I think I don't know my two people here, Brenda or Susan. I believe it's Brenda had made the comment that many religions here all have that same end-time prophetic thing of a rise of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Islam has that exact same thing. They have the rise of the Mahdi that signs a treaty with Israel and breaks it. Glenn Beck went through this on one of his shows about a week and a half ago, and it was amazing. Islam actually believes from, I think it's the Hadid, I think that's the Islamic text, that they do have also a mark.
Mm.
That they are,
yes, they do.
They're exactly the opposite. Am I right there? Is it Brenda that knows this?
Yes, they do have a mark.
Yeah,
and
they're
actually,
supposed to take the mark.
Yes, they do, and it's actually when you see the Quran and the Hadith that you're talking about, a lot of those Quranic Islamic scriptures, they actually go coinciding with Revelation Daniel as the opposite, as the Antichrist, but they're praising it as a savior.
It's amazing how they're almost similar opposites. And it's like we're told not to take the mark. The Islams are told to take,
to
the,
take
Muslims
the mark.
Are told
yeah.
to take the mark.
Yes.
I mean, it was like, whoa, this is like, wow. Total opposite of each other, but yet the same belief coming from two different sides.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. And one thing I want to bring up what Brenda said earlier is I am captivated on and mixed up about how in the heck does the Jewish people accept this man. And to say one thing,
you know,
is...
I can give you a hint. I can
give
you a hint.
Yeah, go for it. Please.
Because one of the beliefs in you know, he's not going to accept, the Jews are not going to accept in Middle Eastern or, you know, Islam, but they do believe that Jesus actually will assist the Al-Hamadi when he comes. He will actually bow down to him. And so Jesus was Jewish. So, you know, if Jesus is there with him.
False prophet comes in.
Correct. And so we'll have to see how that works and how the Jews will accept it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Susan.
I don't know how it all works together, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing. Susan, what do you have anything to iterate on this?
Well, I'm enjoying the conversation, I must say. Very, very interesting. I do agree that it could be a pope. It really could be a pope because when you think of it, there's over, a billion people on this planet that are Catholics.
Yeah.
And they've gone as far as convincing educated people that when they eat a wafer, they are eating Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been very effective in their brainwashing and the occult techniques that they use. So, yes, it could definitely be a pope. And also, it could be an American.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when I was thinking about it while you were talking, I was thinking, and this is just a thought of mine, that for the most part, American evangelists, American politicians are very popular in the world. They're very charismatic. People are drawn to American personalities. So it could be an American. I've never heard anyone really give me any scripture to back it up. It would be interesting if there's something there. But it could be someone. Look at John F. Kennedy, how charismatic he was, how he won over the affections of people worldwide.
Yeah.
So, but the idea of the false prophet being from Islam, now that's interesting.
I think that
I like to spend more time studying. This is an area that I haven't spent a lot of time studying, but it's very, very interesting. But I just wanted to let you know that stealth bombers were actually sent from the United States to Libya, and they did drop bombs. They flew from this country, and they flew over there, and their mission was to drop bombs in Libya, and they did that.
Yeah, the Ezekiel war, just a yes or no answer would be great. The Ezekiel war, is it a platform for the rise of the Antichrist? We'll start with just a yes or no answer. Chris?
Absolutely, yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda, you still there?
I'm sorry. I had you on mute, and I didn't realize I was answering the question, and you weren't listening. So, no, I was talking, but I was on mute. Yes or no? Are you talking about Ezekiel 38? Is that what we're
talking about? Is it before the tribulation period begins? Is it the rise of the Antichrist? Is it his platform, his stage?
Possibly. I'm not sure exactly.
The beautiful thing about this whole thing is it's probably going to turn out the way most of us did not think it was going to turn out. 9/11, it's 10 years past 9/11. I am a person who believes that time puts people to sleep. 9/11 happened 10 years ago. I was just thinking about that. I said, wow. I was watching a movie online and watching on YouTube on my projector, and I was like thinking about 9/11. It's a movie about 9/11, the family, their response to 9/11. And this thing happened 10 years ago. And time just flies. This is going to be off the wall question. Do you believe, start with Susan, do y'all believe that there is going to be a terrorist attack in our future, I'm not saying near, but in our future, that will involve suitcase nukes? And then I'll tell you why I'm asking this question after we're all done. Starting with Susan, do you believe that? And tell me why you if you do believe it or if you don't believe it, tell me why.
I don't believe it.
Okay.
And I just don't see it happening yet, no.
Okay.
I don't see it happening.
Okay. How about you, Chris?
Well, I'm going to agree with her. I don't see it either, and I'll tell you why. 9/11 served a purpose, and it was basically, I think, two purposes. Number one, it gave us an awareness of what Islam was. I don't think we had a clue what the other side of the world was worshiping or how they were worshiping, but it definitely brought to everybody's fore, to their thinking, exactly what Islam was all about. And look at the attempts that have been made. I don't know if there's hundreds, but I'd say definitely we could name 12 of them. I mean, you know, we have Christmas bomber, we have this bomber, we have that bomber, and they've all been foiled. And I believe that's God's hand.
Yes.
They've all been foiled for maybe a reason to make us complacent, could be one. But also, that's not God's intention. He doesn't want everybody all mad at the Islamic religion. He wants to see the Islamic religion grow more and more so that his glory is in that Ezekiel 30 war, Ezekiel's war end. You see where I got to that a little earlier. Where God gets the glory from the Zionists based on all the Islamic hype that goes up against Israel. So I believe we're going to see more and more the rise of Islam. And if we see suitcase bombers, we're going to see, you know, Islam get knocked a little bit more and more by the Western nations. But instead, we're seeing the opposite right now. We're seeing a mosque being built on the 911 site.
Yeah.
So we're seeing the opposite being into effect because things like the New York bomber and the Christmas bomber all were foiled. And it's making us complacent against this rise of a religion that needs to happen in order for Ezekiel's war to take place.
Yeah.
Second hand, 9/11 was for a reason. And I can see the reason now. We have Iran now, nuclear, because of 9/11. 9/11 was the one reason why George Bush went against Iraq. It was, I mean, and it's like you think of it, Saudi Arabia should have been the one who was attacked because they were the ones that came 19 bombers out of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
We didn't even go after them. Even, what is it, that prince from Saudi Arabia tried to bring a check to Giuliani. You remember that? Giuliani's, you know, and the prince kind of made a little comment about, you know, the United States kind of deserved this. And Giuliani says, hey, we don't want your check. You can take it back, you know. But we didn't bomb Saudi Arabia. We bombed Iraq.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's a number of issues. There was a weapons of mass destruction. That was the big excuse, which maybe they did have. Syria's probably got them now. But but the end of that, Saddam was taken out. Now, Saddam was the enemy of Iran. Iraq and Iran had just finished that war of Iraq and Iran war, where Iraq came out to be the victor. Iraq was the watchdog for Iran. Iran could have never gone nuclear with Saddam in power. He would have never allowed it. We took out Saddam. We took out the watchdog for Iran. And now we have a problem with the nuclear Iran, which is Israel's big, big problem.
Yeah.
And then that's the purpose I see of 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Brenda, about suitcase nukes? I did this for a purpose. Go ahead.
I would say that as far as suitcase nukes, I don't know how, but I do believe that there are sleeper cells of Islamic terrorists here in the United States. I believe they're just waiting for their opportunity to come forth. But I think that they're actually using the democracy of our country to overcome the beginnings of jihad, which they call the peaceful side of jihad, is to use the persuasion and the democratic system to overthrow the country. So we're actually allowing them to do pretty good at that. So they don't need to rise up yet. But I believe and I see, you know, in all this my studies is that there are many, many, many sleeper cells here in the United States that if they were given the call to go forward to do, whether it be a suitcase, nuclear bomb, or whatever, that they will do it. They were able to do it with 9/11, and they were able to carry it out specifically. And those who I call them, my last show, the prophets of Islam. These are the prophets of Islam against Islam are those who have been part of the Islamic countries and have come over to the United States, and they're saying wait a minute, they're here. They're all here. You guys need the warning call is out. So I do agree with Christine Week in that God needs to get the glory, you know, for Ezekiel and about Iran being the nuclear and how Saddam Hussein was taken out. I love the idea that they were the watchdog there to keep Iran kind of subsided, and now there is no reason for Iran to you know, subside there. Actually, go nuclear, full force, and Iran is actually a big threat to not only Israel, but it is to the world, I believe.
Yeah, the reason why I asked y'all that question is because I'm glad y'all did, well, actually, I still wish it was so, but I'm glad y'all did not say that God's hand was on America, because I would have puked. I love my country, and I don't want anything to happen to anybody, but just watching television shows, I mean, sometimes I take a time, I watch The King of Queens, and I think that's one of my only addictions that is left, and I have to be freed from that bondage. So please pray for me tonight, ladies. But anyway, I'm just joking. I want to ask y'all, where is America in Bible prophecy? And let me explain why I connected those two together, the neutron bombs. Because I'm glad you guys didn't say that the hand of God was on America. Because me and my wife, at least me, I lived here for almost 5 years. Well, 5 years, oh, almost over five. And I married my wife, and I moved here. And I would say only one person invited me to church. Other than that, me and my wife drive to churches. You know, we checked out a few churches, and no one's ever came up to me and said, how would you? Or nobody's asked me when I'm walking in the store, if you'd have died tonight, what would happen? You know, I mean, if this is a Christian nation, it makes me barf. The people who even call this a Christian nation anymore. And it's sad for me to say it. It's not like I'm happy to say it. I'm not happy. I'm not. Trust me. I even slip and fall sometimes because I'm battling battling with, you know, everybody else is asleep. Why not just sleep with them? I mean, and I don't do it on, you know, it's not my lifestyle, but I'm saying sometime in the back of your mind, you get caught up with, I'm not like American Idol. I like football. But you get caught up with the life, and but I do really feel, I haven't sought the tears yet, but I really feel bad for my nation, and this question is really dear to me. Where is America in Bible prophecy? We'll start with Ms. Johnson, and then we'll go from there.
Where is America in Bible prophecy? I see America as having a lack of influence in the world at that point in Bible prophecy. I think everything in Bible prophecy is focused on Israel and the surrounding countries that influence Israel. I am not sure exactly what our role will be, if any role. At first, when I was quite young in first studying it, I thought America was going to be nuked off the earth, but in that, you know, the third of the world, you know, but I don't really see that today. I see that more of a lack of influence, and we can see that for what has happened exactly in our time, in our day, that especially with the President Obama, that he is actually making us less influential in the world. So that's how I kind of perceive that we will not have the influence and power. So that's actually my take. I'm not quite sure what our role will be in the end times.
Yeah.
I'm so focused on Israel and what is happening with them. And I know that the country that actually divides and curses Israel will be cursed.
Yeah.
And we have been doing that for quite a while now. We have been actually, by our actions as the states, have been cursing Israel. So
yeah,
we have been paying the price, I believe, of that. So
yes, indeed. How about you, Chris?
Okay, my answer is going to be a bit lengthy here. I've got my book open to the exact discussion here. This is something that I felt God laid on my heart. I have really not read my explanation of Revelation chapter 8. This is the sounding of the trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's Revelation 8, verse 7, where it says, a third of the trees are burned up, a third of the earth is burned up, and a third of the green grass was burned up.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went, well, that's a pretty good-sized chunk of the earth here.
Mm-hmm.
And get a globe out or a map and put it up in front of you and start taking out sections of the world that you would say would escape this plague. You
mm-hmm.
know Israel and all the Middle East will need to escape it, because
mm-hmm.
that part is in biblical prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that the Battle of Armageddon takes place in Israel, so that's the end game. So we know Israel and that area around it is going to be protected from this.
Mm-hmm.
China cannot be affected because that's where that 200 million man army comes from.
Sure.
These are the armies from the east.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say that the Asian countries then would be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, well, then we, of course, I believe that the Antichrist in the city of Babylon is actually situated in Italy. So I kind of believe that the Italy and the European countries are also safe from this area being burned up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to leave you the continent of Africa, North America, and South America.
Mm-hmm.
Africa is mainly composed of great deserts. It is not an area of green grass and green trees and so on.
Yeah.
So we could say, okay, that could be eliminated then also. What is that going to leave us? Well, that's going to leave you North America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Canada is covered with your dense forest. It's covered with farmed agriculture in, you know, grasslands and grass plains. United States is known to be the breadbasket of the world. Okay,
yeah.
Because we're, of course, made up of the same type of idea.
Yeah.
Now, kind of link this also with the black horse that comes out to bring famine.
Yeah.
If the breadbasket of the world is burnt up,
mm-hmm.
that does bring about the plague of the black horse.
Oh.
You take out the breadbasket, you're now going to raise the price of a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Now, here's where the strong argument comes in, and this is right in our news right now, the Ring of Fire. You know that takes place, you know, everybody's familiar with the Ring of Fire right now. It starts in Alaska, Aleutian Islands, goes all the way south along North America coastline, right where you are, Phil, right along there, and then towards South America, and then up and around again. That part of Alaska, North America, and the coastline of South America, that's all part of the Ring of Fire, which is a volcanic mountain range. There is also called there the Continental Divide. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. It's located, actually, there's a tourist stop in Colorado. It's called the Continental Divide. I've been there. I was there 5 years ago when we went past it on the road, and I went, hey, there's a sign that says there's the Continental Divide. And I actually didn't know exactly what it was.
Uh-huh.
But if you take a snowball and you stand at that one particular spot and you throw it to the west or you throw it to the east, the water that trickles from that snowball will go into either ocean from that spot.
Wow.
And that happens to be the volcanic Ring of Fire. If we have a Yellowstone Park blow up, Now, they've been talking about this already. If you've noticed the news, the floor of Yellowstone Park has risen 13 inches in the last 3 years. And because there's so much magma underneath Yellowstone Park that if it would blow, it would cover the United States. Is this how the United States gets a third burned up? By fire, forest fires as a result from lava flows? But notice where the Yellowstone Park sits, right on the Continental Divide.
Huh.
Is that now God's plan to take out a third of the world using natural forces, such as a tremendous earthquake coupled with volcanic explosions? That was just my thought, people.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good thought. The United States, from my studies, I sadly enough don't see it, and the reason why is because God has explained to all the nations, even the ones in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and Psalms 83, and believe it or not, Matthew 24 in the book of Revelations. And then you can also lay out on the statue in Daniel chapter 2. You got, you know, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, the revived Roman Empire. And my question is why, unless Susan has it right, why did the Antichrist have to take over? Why did he have to sign? We have George Bush and we have Bill. We'll actually go backwards. We have Jimmy Carter and then Bill Clinton, and then we have George Bush Jr., and then we have President Obama trying to solve the Middle East peace deal. And to no avail, they cannot do it. So here you go, standing up the Antichrist who solves and signs a covenant with many for one haptad and 1 week. So the United States is not there. And there's signs all over the place of why the United States is not on the scene, because if you take a look at some of our high school kids, you just stand around them at a basketball game, or you just stand around at the mall somewhere, just watch them. These kids are not stupid, but very ignorant. The generation that we, and I understand that Second Timothy 3 was not just explaining children, but children is a magnifying glass of how the parents are, and the parents are just we're a wicked society, and the reason why I'm saying all of this is because the United States is not in Bible prophecy, and I see why we have let a fiat funny money system take over our issue of currency. So the almighty dollar will be collapsing pretty soon. So unfortunately, I'm saying all of that. I want to set the trend for the rest of the show. We want to talk about some of the groupings. We only have about 45 minutes, but we want to talk about the emerging church. I want to figure out what these guys are about. And I want to start with Brenda, and then don't be surprised if I shift gears on you to ask Christina a revelation question while we're talking about the emerging church. And then don't be surprised if I switch gears on you and talk to Susan about TBN. Doesn't make any sense. All these things tie together, sisters. All these things tie together.
Oh,
they all tie together. They're headed on the same path. That everybody's headed towards that worship, that self-worship, that godhood. Because remember, the Antichrist will raise himself above every god that is called God. And then if you read Matthew 24, it says, "And many should come in my name, saying, I am Christ." I used to look at this and say, well, they are Antichrist. They're, you know, Rock Nish of Spokane when he's in Seattle. There's David Koresh. There's all these many, you know. But that really means millions. So somewhere or another along the line, the way, the Antichrist is not only going to go, if he's from Islam, he's not only going to be from Islam, but he's also going to incorporate New Age philosophies and many religions together, making one religion. And it all has to make sense. It all has to jive. So for the remainder of the show, let's talk about what the heck I just said.
So you want me to straighten that out, right?
Yeah, straighten that out, because I just went wild. Men go wild.
But the emergent church is very global. It's very ecumenical. It's very new age. I see actually a contrast between the emergent church, opposite contrast between the emergent church and Islam. I see actually the emerging church as part of bringing in a global environment for the rise of the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a Christian cult, I would say, of actually New Age, and it's a cult of Christianity. So it appears to be Christian when it is not. It takes away a lot of the fundamentals of the church. And why I say contrast with Islam is because I think Islam will only put up with it as long as they're not in power. Once they're in power, they're going to crush it because they cannot unite with any other religion. So I can't see those two going together. And the way that jihad works is that when they're not in power, they actually go, they try to gain power from, you know, a peaceful solution of getting into the top position. And once they're in that top position, and you saw this in Lebanon happen in the 70s, they crush everything underneath it and they overtake it. So everybody in the emerging church and, you know, Jews and Christians will all die according to Islam. So I see the emerging church as part of a global atmosphere, global Christian, supposedly Christian movement. I would call it a counterfeit Christian movement. It does not believe that God is going to judge the earth in the second coming. They believe that when what will happen in the end time is that it will be the end as we know it, not the end of the world, not the end of, not God's judgment, because God is love. He's not going to judge. He's not going to judge, just like there's no hell. Just like Jesus, who is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, is not in the emerging church. Because why would God the Father punish his son and say, well, you know, you're supposed to love each other, but yet I punished my son in your place. They say that that's not what happened. They said that he actually, according to Brian McLaren, which I call the guru of the emerging church, says that Jesus died on the cross because he spoke up against the Roman government, and he said, we don't want to serve you. We want to have a peaceful reign of, you know, Jesus came to peace and love, and I'm going to show you how to die for speaking up against a government. For me, blasphemous, because it takes away the total purpose of the cross. Rob Bell doesn't believe there's a hell. Neither does Brian McLaren. But a lot of the people in the movement do not believe. So what's the point of evangelism in the first place?
Yeah.
What's the point of judgment? What's the point of salvation? It takes it all away, and that all religions are equal. And they call out and say, well, you know, the three major religions of the world, Islam and Christianity and Judaism, they all, you know, believe in one God, and they all kind of, well, maybe not Jews, but especially Islam and Christianity. They agree on Jesus as a, you know, they honor him, so why don't we just all get together and have a peaceful solution in the world? So this is one thing that they say, this is like yeast going through the churches.
Yeah.
Now I hear yeast and I go, now that's a bad thing in the Bible. They know that, but they say it as a good thing. And it's almost the same thing as like Islam is, you know, going to be 666. You're going to have the number, and you have to take it. It's a good thing. So it's very, very New Age. You know, I agree that the shack is even more New Age than the emerging church, which is interesting. But I just see it as a global gathering
Hey, sorry for the interruption. Hey, Susan.
Yes.
For some reason, I can't control the chat room. They got some people in there.
I can't log in.
I wonder what's wrong with that. I'm sorry, Brenda. Somebody that's exactly why I don't have chat rooms. forgive me, everybody, but this is the last day of a chat room for me, at least. I'll never have another chat room again. Thank you very much, people. You guys, are you kidding me? Are you serious? I guess I can't see it,
so I don't know what's going on.
I'm kind of lost.
Okay, so
well,
that
I have to say, I'm
whoever's
glad
in
they,
the chat room, everybody
came
just,
anyway. Because
do me a favor. No, nothing against anybody else in the chat room, but everybody just exit out. Just do me a favor. Just exit out. Even the guests. I thank you guys for coming by. Okay, you guys are cool, but I'm talking about the people who are making. Okay, they left. Okay, well, we're going to continue on. But that's why I don't have chat rooms. I don't know if it's just when I was born, somebody just walked past my mom and said, you're going to have problems with chat rooms. I have no idea. But I have problems with chat rooms. I cannot tell y'all one successful chat room. That's why I didn't bother the sisters, Brenda, Chris, with the chat rooms. Susan is pretty.
I don't even know how to do it, Phil.
Yeah, you might not
want to
learn after that one.
Over here.
Well,
I wouldn't know how to get in one.
Chat rooms are okay. Susan will talk to y'all.
Maybe they got a little, the seed of the Word of God was sown in their hearts. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
wow.
I get all kinds of comments on my YouTube. I take the ones off, you know, and with the ones that cuss me out. But even if they say something bad about me, whatever, I leave those up because they can say as long as they're nice and they don't threaten me and cuss me out or whatever. But
hey, you know how the good word goes. If you don't stir up something, you haven't done anything
to stir it up.
So,
so
I always say if I stir the pot and I'm good at stirring the pot, that means I'm doing my work.
I agree. And I think that, you know, there are quite a few people in the chat room tonight, and I was actually glad to see that there was some activity there. So whoever, you know, was insulted or whatever, you know, before people come to know Jesus, look at how we were.
Yeah.
And,
amen.
So, I mean, I was no example of Christian living, that's for sure. So I'm glad that, for me, it was good when someone shared the Word of God with me. And I was angry about it at first, too. I thought Christians were a bunch of nuts. But I'm glad that somebody took the time to sow the Word of God in my heart, and it bore fruit. Wow, it really did. So we just bless those people, and we hope that God will get them and change their hearts. And,
amen.
You know, the thing is, we know Jesus is real. We know. And I would love to go on some of these television shows where they're making fun of Christians and treating us like we're stupid. But the thing is, we've been born again, so we know what it is. You can't tell us any different because we know Jesus Christ. We know he changed our life. We know he gave us peace and joy that no man can give us.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful thing. We want to let you people know, all you people that are listening, that Jesus Christ is real. And the things we're talking about tonight are in his word. His word is true. And if you need a guidebook to life, we have the Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, indeed. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We got 30 minutes left, and we're going to finish the show up. But it's been a wonderful show. I appreciate y'all for coming on, and thank you, Susan, for this idea. We will be right back, and we continue.
You're entering the prophecy.
Wrong one.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
and what God's saying will happen in this world. Stay tuned for an amazing show. You're listening to The Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
We talk about world events in line of Bible prophecy, end time revelation, how soon is Jesus Christ coming back from the earth to take his own out. It is a pre-trib rapture that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Keep looking up, for the Lord is coming soon. A lot of distortion on that last commercial. I played it before, and a couple of first times I played it, there was no distortion on that. I will be taking that one out and doing it again. Matter of fact, I'm going to start doing commercials. Once we move into our house and I get my own studio, I'll probably do this stuff professionally. It's fun trying to get the thing to jive together, and I think it's pretty cool. I'm not up there with Andy, my commercial guy, but with a little practice, I'll be okay. Like I said before, the chat room, well, Susan made an awesome presentation on this. And like I said before, it's a blessing to be able to be on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm pretty much blessed. To have these sisters on today. Continuing on, we at the Prophecy Zone will be expanding probably at a pace unknown. I know these ladies are different on their views of when Jesus is coming back for his church, and I've explained to many people that I am pre, and I probably will always be pre. Actually, will always be pre. However, I don't look at anybody any differently. Now, there are people on Blog Talk Radio who think I'm the Antichrist because I'm pre-trib. I believe that the rapture of the church will take place before any other thing. Now, a lot of people in America seem to use this reasoning. They say, what makes you think just because you live in America, God is going to whisk the church out of here? Well, if you look in the Old Testament, and you look in the New, you notice that God protects his obedient church. The church of Philadelphia was obedient. He told the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of. A lot of people believe that I or whoever like myself go out and we read other people's books and we come up with this. I actually sit down and look, and I've used every objective. But to me, this is my opinion. I love all my brothers and sisters regardless of what the secondary issue is. I believe that if you say that there's no death, burial, or resurrection, and you mess with the simplicity of Christ, then you're in trouble. But when you say when the resurrection is going to take place, not that it's not, but when it's going to take place, you're okay. But when you say it's not going to take place, then you're hurting. So with that being said, I want to go on to talk about how do you see the whole end time scenario, nuts and bolts. How do you see it panning out? And I'm just going to ask Chris and Brenda, and then I'm going to ask Susan another question. How do you see the real fast, just like news in like 3 minutes? You know how they have news in 3 minutes around the world. Well, give me what do you think? Just synopsize, the rapture is going to come, people are going to do, or the rapture happens later, or the Antichrist rises, and this is what happened, and 3.5 years later, he asked somebody to take a mark. They don't take the mark, so he kills and slaughters. Just give me a real quick view on the whole scenario on how it's going to take place from now to the end when Jesus rides on that horse with 10,000 of the saints to execute judgment and to take everybody to heaven and live happily ever after. Go ahead and tell me the scenario, starting with Chris.
All right. First of all, I agree with you 100%. I believe Any belief in the rapture? Yes, I do believe one will occur. Absolutely. It's the gathering together to meet him in the air. That's called the rapture. And but the belief of when it takes place is not a condition for salvation.
Yes.
Absolutely not. So if you don't even believe in it at all, God's not going to ask you when you get to heaven's door, hey, did you believe in the rapture?
Yeah.
You know, before you get into heaven, did you believe in it? So I know that's not a condition for salvation. I tend to be non-traditional. I will place the rapture pre-wrath. I do believe the church will go through a portion, or I would even say a great portion, of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, Phil, you are an exception to this, but many times I have my book signings that I sit at, and people will ask me, Revelation, I don't need to read it because I'm going to be gone. Antichrist ain't going to happen to me. I don't need to look for that. And that head-in-the-sand type of thinking, that becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to ignore the book of Revelation because you think you're going to be raptured, you know, this is where I feel the delusion will be for those who run into the Antichrist, because they won't have a clue of what's coming.
Yeah.
And that's where I believe those believers are wrong in ignoring Revelation, because they believe they're gone.
Yeah.
I always say, if the rapture occurs before the tribulation period, you guys, I'm going to wave to you in the air with you. I'm out of here with you. And, you know, it would be a blessing to go. However, if we go through it, there is some people that need to pay attention that you got to keep your faith strong. Are you strong enough to either take the mark and get your head cut off or see your fingers get chopped off one at a time until you take the mark? Are you strong enough in your walk with God to meet that criteria should it come? I think that's your basic question.
Amen. So actually, I'm kind of glad you didn't answer my actual question, because you actually didn't answer it, but I'm kind of glad you didn't, because I'm going to bring Susan in. Go ahead, Susan, and address what Christina just said, but let's just talk about – go ahead, just address what she just got.
Well, I mean, I agree with a lot of what she said, because we do have that problem in the church where – people have deceived themselves so much to believe that, oh, we can't have any catastrophes happening, and we're protected, and we can pray away weather, we can just make our faith confessions, and, you know, God favors this nation because it was founded, this is a Christian nation, and it was founded as a Christian nation, so God is going to protect us. Well, that's how deceived the church has become, because, first of all, I want to know what Christian nation, and I say this to people that when they tell me that they believe that America was a Christian nation founded by all Christians, when Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible, he actually wrote his own Bible. He wasn't a Christian. George Washington was a Mason. He was a famous Mason. And what Christians... please tell me, what Christians come into a country and they kill the natives and they take over a country? Now, is that Christianity? That's some kind of funny Christianity to me. That is really weird. And then they take people in the Christian nation that the people today want you to believe that it was a Christian nation, they actually had slaves. They took people from another country and they brought them here and made slaves out of them. Is that a Christian nation? That's how deceived people are. So the book of Revelation, who wants to believe that there's going to be all these catastrophes on the earth and that the Antichrist is coming? Because it's easy for people to think, well, we're not going to be here. And we've already seen what can happen. We see what's happened in Japan, and it happened in a day. There was an earthquake. There was a tsunami. And then there could have been a nuclear catastrophe as well, which God in his mercy seems to have prevented. Even in our country, we have what I came to find out, what I come to find out last week, was that one of our nuclear power plants in New York State actually sits right on a fault of an for an earthquake, right on the fault line. And so anything can happen. And my advice to Christians is be ready for anything.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what we're going to have to go through. Whoever thought we were going to have a 9/11?
Yeah.
So
yes, indeed.
Be ready. Be ready for anything. Be ready to take your stand for Jesus. Stay strong. Read your Bible. Know what the Word of God says. Be instant in season, out of season. We just have to be ready.
Yes, indeed. And that is the main take, because a lot of people who are reading Left Behind series and things like that are still caught up with the way the Bible explains the last days, that people will fall away for apostasy. Falling away for apostasy does not necessarily mean you believe that you know, all religion, you know, one way to heaven. There's many ways to heaven, but apostasy can mean you're falling away from the simple Christianity and going towards another Christianity, which are very similar. So you don't have to fall away and make into a way off religion. You just fall away to a similar gospel that sounds, looks like a duck, talks like a duck, walks like a duck, looks like Christianity, talks like Christianity, moves like Christianity, but it's not Christianity because of one error. And let's go to Brenda, and let's talk about the gospel itself and how simple it is to veer off course. I'm pretty sure she has, and all three of y'all have, an explanation of why the gospel is being changed. But the danger is to veer off just a little, because you can be in the Pacific Ocean headed towards China, you know, Japan actually, or you know, help out. And if your radar, if your compass is a little bit off, you can end up way off. So, can you elaborate on what I just said, Brenda?
Possibly, if I know what you're actually looking for me to say.
Well, elaborate on, because you study many things, and everybody knows that the emerging church, or if you talk about purpose driven, or you talk about the Islamic faith, those are pretty much the Islamic faith is pretty much way off. The emerging church is somewhat, you know, closer to Christianity. Today, it seems like people are, a lot of the churches are veering off. How did some of these movements? Let me ask you this: how did some of these movements begin? Did they begin with a big lie, and then they just get bigger, or did they begin with a smaller lie, and then they get bigger?
Well, deception is defined that in such a way that it actually appears to be true when it really isn't. One thing that I saw in, I'm just going to simplify it a little bit, in Rob Bell's book, The Velvet Elvis, you'll have one chapter that is like, ooh, cool, this is a great insight. And then you'll have another chapter that is totally in error. It is totally almost blasphemous. Also, what I was seeing is in one paragraph, part of the third, maybe the first two sentences were total truth, and the next two were total lies. This is where it starts. And if you do not know your Bible, if you do not know what is written in there, you are going to, you know, it's easily to be deceived. And it doesn't
Boom.
Take much.
Yeah, that's
it
what
really
I want.
It doesn't take much, but if you don't even know the fundamentals of your faith, because one of the things that the emergent church is focusing on is Jesus only. The Gospels are something that they're focusing on, and not all four Gospels, three of the Gospels. They don't like the Gospel of John, and they do not like Paul, because Paul does not agree with what they are actually promoting. So they're only focusing on the first three Gospels. Now, if you only read the first three Gospels and you interpreted it according to what they're saying, then you would say, well, that sounds kind of cool. This is really good insight. But if you don't know the whole of Scripture, if you don't know what was in Paul, or if you don't know what is in John, or lo and behold, even the Old Testament, but I'm thinking the simple thing of the New Testament, if you just read the New Testament, you would see that, wait a minute, it's not just this particular section of the Bible that we're supposed to focus on. And so it's the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, and it starts, you know, we all know that sin starts with compromise. So does it happen with deception, the compromise of listening to people instead of reading for yourself, instead of being a Berean.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you again, about Susan, how do you be ready? How are you to be ready regardless if there's a pre, mid, or post-rapture? How are you to be ready? Sister Brenda just got through saying.
Well, you better know the Word of God.
Amen.
Because there's so many voices out there. I like what you said, where you see what they do, what these false prophets and false teachers do is they take a little bit of truth and then they give you some truth and then they lie.
Yeah.
And then they give you some truth and then they lie.
Yeah, and then the Bible tells you in the book of Jude, it tells you they lie. But they kind of go in stealth, like those stealth fighters just went over the list. They kind of go in stealth. They're under the radar. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you could see that. But I'm so grateful for the internet and Blog Talk Radio and
Amen.
YouTube and the different ministries, because we see that there's voices out there crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And God's given us this opportunity where we may not get invitations to go into churches. We may not get invitations to go on so-called Christian television and talk about what we talked about tonight. But yet God is going to have his people out there raising the alarm, the watchman on the wall, and encouraging people to read the Word of God for themselves. We're not out to make a reputation for ourselves or to take seed faith offerings or tithing or any of that. We're just doing it because we love God. We love God's people. We love people, and we want people to know the truth so that they're not deceived. How easy it is to be deceived. That when one night I was actually watching one of these so-called Christian television networks, and all of a sudden I see a lady with a miniskirt on and a low-cut blouse, and she's talking about flipping off her husband. And she's the pastor's wife. And I'm in shock. I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? What is this? What has happened? And yet people think it's normal. They just think, wow. You know, there was actually hundreds of people in this congregation.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. But it's. Thank God for people like Christine and Brenda and you, Phil, and the other people that are out there working for God, doing something for the Lord, because we love God
Amen.
More than anything. We love him with all our heart, and we want to serve him. So we're sounding the alarm. We're sounding the alarm.
Yeah, and that is the most important thing. The book of Revelations is to be read with a promise, and that's the most that's a great thing. The whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, is important in these last days, and we need to be prepared for death. Your rapture might come tomorrow. My rapture might come tomorrow. My death. you know, who knows? But God forbid, because that's, you know, I'm like Paul. You know, I got, you know, beneficial for someone else that I stay here, but nonetheless. But we need to be prepared, like somebody said in the chat room. And I do believe buying some powder for your gun. I mean, people probably say that's a little bit odd. I do believe in investing your money. I do believe in having, you know, some savings. So if somebody, you know, pass away on the other side of the country, you can go home. You know, you can go and visit and to the funeral. I do believe in a rainy day, but I believe that the physical is important and the spiritual is important. The spiritual is the number one thing, because wherever you sow your treasure, that's where your, you know, that wherever you sow your heart, that's where your treasures are. God wants to save man. He wished that none should perish but come to the truth. These sisters are doing God's will, and I am so happy to have them part of the network. We are, I just see it, regardless of how things pan out, I believe in my heart that this ministry will be there to let you guys know, let you gals know what's going on. The show is going to take a twist on my part, just my part alone. It's going to take a, you're going to be pretty impressed. You're probably going to, you know what I'm saying, God hits some talents that you actually have. Because a lot of times I come on the show and I just talk. I mean, I would just say stuff, and it's kind of like tonight. I would struggle with what I wanted to say, but I'm like a bomb. I'm ready to explode, and I just don't know how to say it, but I know how to say it. It's kind of weird. But I thank y'all for coming on today. I am blessed to have y'all on today. And, man, we need to do this again.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And our plan is to be able to talk to a lot of, you know, a lot more people. But if things happen unexpectedly, we will be here to let people know what's going on. And the search engines will probably pop up. I mean, because people are going to want to know. They're going to want an alternative from their regular news. And if you really look at what's going on, a lot of these events like Japan earthquake and Libya war and Egypt, they let you know that these stations like CNN, Fox, MSNBC really don't have anything to talk about.
No,
I mean for real. Because sure. I understand, I'm not saying that these things aren't important, but after 6 days of the earthquake, take a break and then elaborate on what's been going on in America, and then come back to the earthquake. A lot of times they got to talk. They're still talking about, you know, these actors and Charlie Sheen, and they should be talking about what's going on in the world. I mean, is America dead? I mean, is there anything going on in America? I mean, for real, besides the NCAA tournament, which I am watching.
Yeah.
Oh, for real, is there anything else going on in America? I mean, that we should know about? I guess not. So I'm going to still tune in to I'm praying for Japan. I mean, I just think that's real. I mean, wow. That's incredible. That incident is incredible. It is as if we were seeing into a glass, halfly dim, to let us know what's going to happen in the future for the whole world.
Yeah,
and they are the most prepared country to handle this.
Yeah.
Can you see
yeah.
God's chess move here going, checkmate, Japan, I just sent you a tidal wave.
Wow.
Something that you were prepared for this earthquake. You were the most prepared of all the countries in the world. You know, and actually they did withstand the earthquake rather well.
Yeah.
It's the tsunami that took them out that ended up doing this nuclear disaster that's still unfolding as we speak.
Yeah.
And I believe God just put a little checkmate and said, you know what, I still can ruin you. Do not think you're the Titanic, because I can still sink you.
Oh, we do think we're the Titanic. Just go talk to one of these kids, like I said earlier. Just go talk to some of the military soldiers. I mean, I will witness some of the military soldiers. It ain't no way in the world, United States. No, no. Man, you must be crazy. What are you smoking? I mean, for real, this is their approach. I would go down to, like in Hawaii when I used to go down and witness the people. America? Are you kidding me? We're the strongest nation on earth. I almost got in a fight over there in Qatar when we were just sitting around. That's when I, you know, kind of like was all backslidden. But I was just telling them how the United States can fall. And these guys wanted to hang me up on a. If we went in the military, they probably would have hung me up on a fence and let me just sit there and rot. But it's imperative that we do not get arrogant to a point where, because it's going to be much more painful for the United States if we fall than it will be for another nation. Who know not God to fall, because we remember we're supposed to be a Christian nation, right? Everybody agree with me? No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
There's a lot of Christians here, but
yeah, there's a lot of Christians here.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm waiting. It's like a brother was saying tonight on Facebook. Kevin Oliver was saying he was driving around Atlanta, and he went through a section where he never saw so much homelessness. He was surprised at what he saw. I mean, it really touched his heart, you know. And these are the things that are going on, and the church is sleeping. I mean, there's enough churches there in Atlanta, enough billions of dollars worth of tithe money and offering money and whatever coming in over there, and yet they can't see what's happening around them, that things are falling apart. I mean, Phil, you said before something about, you know, the economy can collapse, but they can just print more money. I mean, that's all they do anyway.
Yeah, exactly, until they're ready for it to
until they're ready for it. They can just print as much money as they want.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you all for coming on. I'm pretty much pleased with tonight. We probably get back and do this again in a couple months. Maybe even sooner, depends on what's happening on the globe. But thank you all very much. It's been a wonderful night. Any of your last words?
And thank you again for the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. Where we can get in contact with all y'all if somebody want to keep up with you guys.
Who do you want to start with, Phil?
Start with Susan.
If you all want to check out my program on Blog Talk Radio, Prophetic News, so you can go to Blog Talk Radio and put in Prophetic News. We also have a website, propheticnews.com, and we have a YouTube channel, Jonah T for Tom 48. So that's how you can contact my ministry there.
Amen.
Christine? Oh, you can catch me in a couple different places. First of all, my website is www.explainthis.us. I've also got email, explainthis@att.net, or go ahead and Facebook me under, you can go Christine Wyck. I know you said Wick, but that's okay. It's
no,
Wyck.
No, sorry about that.
That's all right. Otherwise, I am one of Phil's Facebook friends, so just look for me there. I don't put a picture of myself on there. I haven't done that yet, but the picture of my book is there. It's bright orange. You can't miss it. Otherwise, I'm sure if you
and her famous perennial gardens, which I would love to see.
I love to garden, and I got too many hobbies. That's my problem. And
you do,
but I'm a busy girl. But
you are.
Amen. And Brenda.
Well, I am still working on my website, so I don't have one quite as yet. But I do have on Facebook false teachings, identifying them. You can. Contact me on that. You also can do have a personal Facebook site. It might be easier to go through Phil, who I'm friends with, than to try to find me because my last name is quite common. Also, my email address is Brenda Johnson. Well, it's gracetomany@mchsi.com, and you can ask me any questions there, contact me that way.
Amen, amen. Thank y'all for coming on. Also, check us out. Our new website is coming pretty soon. That's at www.prophecyzoneradionews.com. So check us out. You can go there and visit the front page, but that's about it. That's all you're going to see. But coming soon. But thank y'all, ladies, very much. I'm probably going to have each of y'all on my show in the near future. And don't be surprised, y'all be on the same show just at different times. But God bless y'all. Thank you
thank
so much.
You.
Wonderful program.
Thank
y'all
you.
Have a wonderful day. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank y'all for tuning in to the Prophecy Zone. Make sure y'all tune in next week and to be on the show as a guest. But God bless y'all. Have a wonderful day.